This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Hey everybody, it's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello, Disney Nerds. And welcome to the Tuesday Night Live Show. I am your host, Jimmy, and I think we got a great show lined up for you tonight. We appreciate you all coming in. As you can tell by the title, we got a show tonight that's going to be all about DVC, DVC in and out, basically from the beginning to the end. Any questions you have about DVC, buying DVC, resale, renting DVC points, financing DVC points. We'll have somebody here. We'll have our friend Nick Cotton, CEO of World of DVC, to cover all those questions for us. I also have Rudy with me again tonight. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run our intro. That way we can get the show shared out. And if you guys could, please do the same thing. Thank you. All right. That fun little intro makes me want to get back to Walt Disney World and see all my friends soon again. Hello, Nicole. Thank you for joining. Jody and Jamie, I know you're there. See ya. Hey, Kathy and Adi, Christina and Lindsay, welcome in. Come on in and enjoy the show, please. I hope all of you guys have brought your questions. First, let me bring in one of my co-hosts who joined us last week for the relaunch of the show, Mr. Rudy.
What's going on, Jimmy?
I'm fantastic, man. How about you?
I'm doing. I actually shared out the show already, so that's pretty amazing.
I don't have to look at the top of your head.
No.
Did you bring a lot of DVC questions with you?
I did.
Good. And also joining us tonight is a special guest host, and been a longtime friend and partner of the show, CEO of World of DVC, which is comprised of DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Monero Financial, Mr. Nick Cotton. What's happening, my friend?
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to be back. Been a long time.
I hope I didn't butcher that too much. It's a mouthful, but I did my best to do it justice.
Yep, that worked perfect. That was good.
Man, I've gotten to meet so many people from your company over the past, I don't know how long we've been friends and partners, probably 6 or 7 years now. And I got to say, from top to bottom, I mean, you have a great staff. Everyone I've met, except for that Derek guy. But other than him, everybody on your team is fantastic.
Much appreciated. So we can't all be perfect, but we still love Derek.
And obviously Derek's my favorite. So I've obviously given him just a little bit. I'm poking a little fun at him. I like to poke fun at him about his fame. Cause every now and then I'll see the DVC Resale Market ads pop up on Facebook and it's got the picture of him and his family
doing the walk at the Polynesian.
Yeah. I'm like, how much did Nick have to pay these people to stand in there with you and pretend like they're your family?
It was a lot of hugs and lunches.
So, can you tell us just a little bit, and a lot of some of these people, you know, it's been a while since you've been on, so some on here probably already know this, but can you just tell us the story of, and I know it started with DVC Resale Market. Actually, it probably started before that, with just you working for DVC, and then they got you to where you are now. Just start at the beginning for us.
Sure. Well, the beginning technically would be my Disney career anyway, would be coming down almost 2 decades ago now to work for the Mouse as an engineer. Matter of fact, I still carry around my TI-89 calculator with me pretty much everywhere I go. But I did that for about 3.5-4 years, and then I transitioned to Disney Vacation Club as a sales guide. Did that until about 8 years ago, and then formed DVC Resale Market. And from there, we became the largest resale broker in the secondary industry within about probably 3 years. You know, we really wanted a place that brought in that Disney expertise from the inside to the, you know, to that secondary world. And then just a couple of years ago, we did a merger and acquisition with Monero Financial, DVC Rental Store. And so then that's been working out great. Now is the world of DVC. And then late last year, we also acquired Magic Vacation Titles. So now you can complete your whole DVC wheel with one company.
It's pretty incredible. I've purchased personally 2 contracts from you guys, and then and did the whole thing with Magic Vacation Title. I did not finance, but I did the purchase and all that with the help of Derek through you guys. And then also, you know, I've got numerous friends who have also done the same thing that I've referred to Derek and bought resale contracts. What are some of the benefits, just really a face value, of buying DVC resale as opposed to buying direct from Disney?
Well, you know, one of the biggest things is going to be the savings. I mean, you're typically going to find yourself saving anywhere from between about 30 to 40% off the cost, just depending on the resort. So that's going to be, you know, certainly one of your biggest benefits. You know, the other thing that we've done in the secondary industry, and when you go to like dvcrentalstore.com, you'll see an opportunity there for swaps. Because some people say, well, you know, with my points, I still want to be able to cruise. I want to be able to do Adventures by Disney. You know, we can take care of that for you. And actually, you can do all those things for actually much less points than using your points directly through Disney to do. We've also are getting a little bit more creative with that. We've also thrown on a beach house that you can swap your points for. And there's probably even more to come. But I would say, I mean, the biggest thing that leads people, you know, to resale is certainly going to be the savings. I mean, that's part of a big part of the reason to join Disney Vacation Club to begin with, is that, you know, they want to realize savings, and this is the most substantial way to do it.
And I will say, just to add on to that, not just the savings, for me, it was more about getting more points for my dollar. So I had an idea of what I wanted to spend. So I went to you guys, not because I was going to spend less, but because I got so much more for the money. It was more vacation time for the same amount of money.
Yeah. I mean, you could either save the money, or like in your case, be able to get more, you know, more bang for your buck. The other thing that is nice about resale too, is I always looked at it as kind of like the buffet of options. You know, when I work directly for Disney, you're pretty much for the most part selling what you actively have to sell. Like, for example, right now, that would mean Grand Floridian, Riviera, Alani. Occasionally we might have, you know, a little bit of inventory at different resorts, but for the most part, you're selling what, you know, you work for the developer and you're selling what they are building. Resale, one of the nice things about it is, you know, you really have an equal supply of about everything. Generally, you know, sometimes there can be ebbs and flows with what's on the market, but generally speaking, you know, you have, you know, a pretty relatively good supply of everything. And what I like a lot about that is, and what a lot of our sales agents love about that is, you really are trying to get what's best for the guest. You know, what if it's a home resort priority, they really wanted a particular resort. You're really focusing on that versus what you have to sell.
For sure. Rudy, any questions?
Yeah, I mean, I've never done resale, but I've actually rented points. You still rent points as well, where you can rent a vacation at a deluxe resort?
Absolutely. DVCRentalStore.com. And they take care of all the rental. So whether you're, you know, in the rental language always gets kind of confusing because you say, well, I'm going there to rent. Well, are you renting your points to get money? Or are you renting points to stay? Right. But Rental Store does both. So if you are a member and you have points that you would, you know, maybe you're not going to use and you would like to get money for that, then that's the place for you. If you are a guest who is looking to stay at Disney, that's a great place to go to save some money on those deluxe villas.
Yeah, we used the service a number of times years ago, and it was fantastic. We used the DVC Rental Store.
And Rudy's now a local, so he doesn't have to do that anymore. But, hey, you never know. Sometimes it's still nice to, you know, I have friends that I've rented points from personally who, you know, at one time lived elsewhere. They're from here, but they live there now. And she held under a contract, and she'll rent them out sometimes, but sometimes they're great to have just for a staycation. So cool thing about it is they typically go up in value.
Well, you know, Jimmy makes a great point. Actually, in a few weeks, we had to do a combination of using points we own and rent from DVC Rental Store to complete a Grand Villa stay for my daughter's 8th birthday.
Where are you staying?
Boardwalk in the Grand Villa. So, yeah, it's going to be a sleepover for her and her 7 best friends. And so it's, it'll save our house some of the typical birthday damage. But she's excited. It'll be something really different for her.
I heard some of that damage going on in the background before we started, and she didn't even have any friends over.
No, that's just my offspring. It's, you know, when you have kids, when you have two, it's not like it's twice as hard. It goes on like this, you know, crazy curve, you know, where it's exponentially harder. And you know, doors behind me could fling open any second and terror could come through. So just be prepared.
I know the feeling.
Nick, it gets easier, man. It's, my kids are grown, and I tell you, it gets easier. It really does. Well, you know what? Maybe it doesn't get easier. You're just presented with different problems.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah, it's just so one of the things I really enjoy about DVC, and you talked a little bit about, you know, when you buy resale that you can buy a different resort and you have a lot of flexibility. But I also think there's also a lot of flexibility in how you use your points. And I'm talking a lot about just kind of banking and borrowing. Can you just kind of go into the aspects of that and just kind of tell us more about that?
Yeah. So generally speaking, with Disney Vacation Club, you can bank points from 1 year. You can borrow points from 1 year. You can put up to 3 years of points into 1 year. Now, a little caveat with COVID, and since we've been in this environment, they are limiting you to a 50% banking. I mean, I'm sorry, 50% borrowing from the upcoming year. So that's still in effect. But outside of that, generally the rules are 1 year to the next, you can bank, 1 year to the next, you can borrow.
You see that going away anytime soon?
You know, I think they're going to have to get back to a little bit more of a normal period for that. I don't think we're there yet. You know, they've also just, it's a matter of them working all those points through the system, because when Disney World shut down for 3 or 4 months, and then you had Disneyland obviously shut down for much longer, along with Alani, they've got a lot of backlog points to work through, but eventually, hopefully they'll get there. Maybe at some point next year is maybe a possibility that they'll be able to normalize that out. Because once they open that back up, it's going to be another wave of flood of points coming into the system.
I was really surprised they didn't handle that a little differently by extending contracts or something like that. That they're just trying to handle it, that backlog of points, and which is really, I'll be honest, as a DVC member, a little bit frustrating, because availability has been really, really tough. And I think it's two things. I think it's one, that it's that backlog of points that you were talking about. I've also heard that they're having trouble finding the staff. So I don't know that they're still, I don't know that they're booking the resorts at 100%, because I think they're having issues with housekeeping staff and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, with timeshare, it's a struggle because, you know, it's essentially, you know, predicated on an assumption that you're going to be, you know, 98% full, like very full. And so when you take those down for several months, you know, there is a lot of filling up, you know, the gaps to make up. And you're right, it is very tough for availability right now. One of the toughest environments I've ever seen. Certainly labor could be playing a part. I'm not sure. I mean, it definitely is tough. I mean, I think that's, you know, it's certainly felt here in the Central Florida market, but I know that that's, you know, not, you know, that's not just Central Florida. That's almost everywhere, but certainly Central Florida is not immune to it.
And I certainly don't mean to blame them in any way. You know, everybody, a lot of people are dealing with the same thing, and I don't necessarily blame Disney, but it's just frustrating as a DVC member when there's hardly any availability ever.
Yeah, I would say for any tips for members right now is plan ahead. I mean, like never before. You know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Things will start to normalize in terms of availability. But I would plan ahead right now, like you've never planned ahead before.
You know, and I mean, look, during COVID, when nobody was booking, was great times for somebody like me who still wanted to go. I got to stay. I mean, I own at Saratoga. I got to stay at Boardwalk a couple of times. I got to stay at Beach Club, places that I normally would never, you know, it's almost impossible to book unless you own there. So I guess I live through the good times. Now I'm being punished a little bit, you know, in the bad times. So it's come around full circle.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it, was the good times. But yeah, I get what you're saying. you know, it is, you know, when I first went back to Disney World in the July of 2020, it was like, you know, an opportunity for, you know, even though it was, you know, very restrictive in ways, it was an opportunity to walk around the parks like you're probably never going to see before. And to your point with availability, getting into Beach Club and Boardwalk, you know, with ease, probably never see again either.
Yep, for sure.
I mean, I can remember that when I rented points, we used to stay at Kidani Village, and I couldn't believe the value in it. So I used to go online all the time, say, oh, you guys got to check out DVC Rental, you got to check. And then I felt like maybe I'm getting too many people over there. It's going to kill my availability, and here we are.
Not only your availability, but it drives the price of the rentals up, right?
Yeah, very true. Create
that demand, it starts to catch up. At one time, you could rent points really cheap, and you could still save some money, but it's not as cheap as it once was. A lot of people in these Facebook groups are catching on to that DVC rental thing.
Yeah, it was definitely a little secret back then. It's definitely much more widespread now, unfortunately. Well, it's good for Nick, though.
Yes.
Well, we appreciate that, Dingus. Keep telling everybody about it.
Yeah. Jody, one of our listeners, watchers, has a question. If we vacation typically in late July, what would be the best use year for us?
Yeah, great question, Jody. I would definitely say June is going to be your best use year. You know, the thing here is, if you are somebody that travels not that consistently in terms of time of year, it really isn't going to matter. If you're like Jody, who just said, I travel typically in late July, use year may be something you might want to pay a little bit more attention to. Where it really matters is if you really did a cancellation short term. That's where, you know, it's the biggest difference. So, for example, if you did a cancellation within 30 days of your check-in, you're not allowed to bank those points over. And so if, you know, let's say, for example, you know, Jody had an August use year, she did a last, you know, second cancellation in for that July trip, then she's not going to be able to bank those points over. She may only have a week left to use those points, depending on how far back in July she did that cancellation. If she did a September use year, she only really has the month of August, maybe a few days in July. If she has a June use year, she does that last second cancellation, she's all the way June of the following year to use those points. So the best rule of thumb is get that U-Shear just before you travel. I would advise her to get a July U-Shear, but it doesn't exist.
Oh, interesting. I did not know that. Why is that?
There's 8 U-Shears, so there's 4 months that got skipped.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. I wasn't aware of that. And then,
so if you see those July U-Shears out there, that's a scam. Don't buy those.
Don't buy those at all. Also, if somebody is in a situation like that where they have to cancel a trip and they've got some points that they are worried about losing, you have a solution for that too, though, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, if you get stuck in, I mean, if it's last second, like a week, not usually not a whole lot we can do, but certainly if you are stuck in a situation where you're going to lose some points, contact DVC Rental Store. And let's see what we can do. Sometimes you'll be surprised at what we can find for you and still get you some money there.
Let me ask you, can you just walk us through the process of buying a DVC contract resale, what the timeline is, and how to find the best deal?
Sure. I would say I find go down two paths when they're looking at DVC resale. It's either they want the biggest bang for their buck. They're completely unconcerned about Home Resort Priority, which for those that don't know, Home Resort Priority is a 7 to 11 month booking window at the resort that you bought your points into. If it's a resort that you didn't buy your points into, you could book 7 months out. Why that matters is, like Jimmy was talking about earlier, Beach Club and Boardwalk being challenging to get into, hence why they're, two of the biggest sellers in the resale industry, is because people want that priority to make sure they can book it before other members can. Now you can be in a bucket where that's very important to you. Like, let's say, for example, you're like, I really love the Boardwalk. I mean, that actually is my home resort in particular. And if that was a high priority to you to have that advanced booking window, then that's really where you should buy. We do have a lot of people, though, that just say, hey, I just want the best bang for my buck in terms of price per point, in terms of dues, in terms of years left. A lot of times those people will gravitate towards Saratoga Springs. That's a strong option. Polynesian is usually a pretty good option for those folks as well. So you kind of divide up people a lot into one of those two camps. And then once we find the resort for you, we determine how many points is good for your family, what also works in your budget. Then you make an offer on that contract. And certainly the team of experts at resellmarket.com, DVCresellmarket.com can help you, guide you through that whole process. Once you do get an accepted offer, it is about a 60 to 90 day process to close. The reason why it takes a little bit longer than some people who are unfamiliar, may think is simply because once it is under contract, it does get submitted to Disney. They do have what we call the right or first refusal. So they do have an option to buy that contract at the same exact terms. Now, the seller doesn't really lose anything in this situation because they're still going to sell the contract even if Disney elects to buy it back. Disney will just honor all of those terms and will become the buyer. The buyer doesn't really lose anything other than a little bit of time. They don't lose their escrow or anything like that. That would just get transferred to another contract, or of course could be refunded immediately. Typically escrow is about 10% of the purchase price, and we put a cap at DVC Resale Market at $2,000 on that. And that's due when the contract is accepted, and then the remainder of what you have due is due at closing. And if you're financing with MoneraFinancial.com, then obviously, we will provide what that number would be. If you're paying cash, of course, it'll be that total plus your closing cost, and if you're paying the dues as well. And we'll cover all that for you too. One thing too that, I really recommend for folks when you're first looking at these contracts is something we added to the Resale Market website just in the last couple of months, and I really, really love it, is every single contract on the DVC Resale Market website right now has a little blurb about what the monthly payment would be if you were to finance it. And once you click into that contract, the Monera financial calculator is built right into that contract for you. So it's so quick and easy to see exactly what your financing terms would be. And it's just little sliders. So if you want to say, hey, well, you know, what if I want to do a 3-year term instead of a 7-year term? You can quickly just slide it around, or 4-year versus 8-year, or 12 years. We even offer 12 years now to extend that out a little bit, make those payments a little bit more affordable. You can also do that with how much you want to do as a down payment as well. So really quick and easy to kind of figure out, you know, what the contract will look like in terms of a monthly payment and affordability. But once, getting back to the process, once it's submitted, to Disney, assuming that they do waive it through, they do waive the vast majority through this year. They're waiving through about 87% of the contracts through, then it goes to the closing process. And, then estoppels, ordered by the title company. Once that's received, they'll get closing documents out, get those back from buyer and seller, and then they'll close the contract out. And then Disney takes a couple weeks to load those points. And then you are good to go at that point, and you can start making reservations.
What are one of the reasons why Disney wouldn't waive it?
Well, they want to buy it themselves. So, you know, this year they've bought back roughly about 13% of the contracts we've sent them. You know, so for them, it's a financial opportunity. If they can buy a contract back, you know, at 35-40% off, then they could go ahead. They could turn around and sell that. You know, some of the factors in what they buy back could depend on what they have a wait list for, what works strategically for them. You know, certainly buying back contracts isn't the greatest money maker that they could ever do. Obviously developing is. But you know, for them there is a strategic advantage in doing that on occasion.
I would say first one point, and then I want to ask a question. I think the fact that they do the right of first refusal is, for me as a DVC owner, pretty reassuring, because Disney is almost like guaranteeing the value that, hey, if these contracts start to dip below what we think they're worth, we're just going to buy them, rather than the money fall too low on the resale side. And, you know, when I went and did the presentation with Disney before I bought before I eventually bought from DVC Resale Market, I had the ability to buy at Saratoga Springs, even though it wasn't the development they were currently selling. But I guess that's probably because that's some that they had bought back. But they were much more expensive than buying it direct from resale. And then my question to you, Nick, is, do they buy some of those contracts back and put that into their inventory for nightly rentals, or do they always resell those contracts?
I think Nick froze up on us.
He may be froze.
That's usually my job to freeze up.
Your job. You always freeze up.
I'm always a big mess.
I still see him in my little window here, but let's see if we can get, I didn't want to just leave him up there. Let's see if he can get reconnected once I see some movement. So the big question is this, Rudy, are you going to buy a DVC contract or no?
You know what? The biggest point here is to show how affordable they are is the fact that you bought some. So, I mean, if Jimmy can buy points, it's open to anybody.
Really?
I mean, I have to say, it's not just, you know, kind of pushing Nick on everybody, but we did use it for years, and the DV rental store was amazing. I mean, the amount of money you save to say it like Kadani, especially, or, you know, Boardwalk, it's amazing.
Yeah. If you want to do something like a, you know, like a Savannah View room at Kadani Village, which is amazing. I mean, my kids were 17 and I think 18 or 19 when we did that. And as old, I mean, they were older teenagers. I think my son was like 17 or 18, and when we got in the room and he saw that card that has all the animals that you can see on the Savannah, like, he immediately went into scavenger hunt mode to find every animal on that card that he could.
Yeah. It's funny to stay at a place where you don't even want to leave it. You know, you don't want to go to the parks. You want to hang out on the balcony and look at the animals.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey guys, I'm back. All right.
Part two.
I don't know. Jimmy, maybe that noise you heard earlier, they could have been like scrambling some wires. I don't know, but I'm out and I'm back in.
How much did you hear of what I said?
I think you said, when Disney buys back some inventory, do they rent it out or do they resell it? I think, was that
well, so that was part of it. So I know some of it they resell the contracts, because when I went and did my visit before I ended up, you know, eventually buying from you guys, I could have bought Saratoga from Disney, but it was much more than I bought it from you guys. But do they always take those contracts that they buy back? And the other part I was talking about is the fact that as an owner, right of first refusal kind of gives me some reassurance that Disney is not going to let the value of these contracts go so low that it's hurting me.
Yeah. So to your second point, absolutely. Yeah, it is another nice reassurance. I mean, one thing that's a huge distinction with Disney Vacation Club, and I always tell people, man, this is the biggest reassurance you could ever ask for. I mean, to me, it's huge, is the resale value of Disney Vacation Club. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's got a 30-year history now. I mean, look, there's no, I'll never tell you to buy a timeshare for an investment. Certainly not. It's not an investment. But I will tell you this. If you look at the 30-year history of Disney Vacation Club and its resale value, it's tremendous. It bucks all trends with anything you've ever seen in timeshare. I mean, a lot of times when we're talking to people, the biggest financial concern they have is how much taxes they're going to have to pay on their gains. I'm like, that's not a normal timeshare concern, you know, but it's the reality of conversations that we've had. So it's awesome. I mean, part of that could be right of first refusal, but a bigger part of that, not to go off too much of a tangent on this, but is that it's just simply the power of substitution. You know, when you go to look online to look at Disney rooms, it's, you know, you're going to be talking about $500-$600 a night for their top rooms. Pretty easy. You know, if maybe there's a discount, it discounts it to $400, $450. When you add that up for a week and a half stay, you're way above what the dues cost. And that right there has value. Where other timeshares collapse is when that discount gets to be so substantial that it's equal to or less than what your dues are. When that happens, the timeshare is worth nothing. Because of the value of Disney, because of the popularity of it, it continues to maintain such a tremendously high value. So that's certainly right of first refusal is just one other thing that's a feather in that cap. When Disney buys back contracts, I mean, they can do whatever they want. Certainly they can rent the inventory. They can resell the inventory. You know, when they're actively selling a resort, they can also rent that inventory. They reserve that right. Hence why they even have to legally allow members to rent their points. Sometimes I hear members say, well, you can't rent points. Well, that's not true. They put a limit on it, but they absolutely allow you to rent their points because DVC rents their own points too. So it's not really a fair stance for Disney to say, well, we can do it, but you can't do it. They do both.
I think that's another frustration sometimes for DVC members. And I just saw this recently. A friend was trying to book a room, I think at Poly, and it wasn't available on the DVC. But if you looked up on Disney's website, it was like 3 weeks before it was time for them to go. And it's like, man, if I wanted to pay cash for it, it's there. But I'm an owner and I can't rent it with my DVC, but they're holding on to it to rent it for cash.
Yep. And it's, you know what, it may stink at the optics of that, but it is fair. You know, I mean, just like you can rent yours, they can rent theirs. But I would tell your friend in that case, there is a workaround. DVCRentalStore.com. You know, go rent your points there, take that cash, and then go book that room.
And that was big news coming up just recently that they're expanding the Polynesian and adding some rooms there, which is pretty incredible. When they do something like that, does that mean they're going to offer those expanded rooms direct to DVC members?
You mean,
like, are they going to resell more contracts at that resort because they're expanding the DVC section of Poly?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it'll be just like the Grand Floridian right now, where they took another building out of the Grand Floridian and converted those units over. Now, this is going to be entirely new, so it will be a conversion. But yes, absolutely. This will be a huge hit. I guarantee it. Grand Floridian, with what they're doing, is an enormous hit. So will the Polynesian. I think the really exciting thing for the Polynesian Tower is it's going to have a room mix to it, which when they originally did the conversion for Polynesian, they didn't really have a room mix to it. It was all studios outside of bungalows. However, I'll put an asterisk next to that because the bungalows, when they're 1,000 points for the week, that's not going to be necessarily for all of your everyday, you know, DVC members. I mean, certainly some members will be able to take advantage of it, but not your everyday necessarily DVC members. So I think a lot, you know, a lot of people when they were joining with Polynesian several years ago originally, you know, some it worked fine for. I mean, certainly studios are much more popular in the DVC sphere than they are in the general timeshare world. But I think a lot of people still want that option to do the one and two bedrooms. I can tell you right now, for me and my wife, we absolutely have to have at least the one bedroom there. It's like, Jimmy, you heard what you heard before we started the show. I mean, can you imagine that being inside your own room?
Yeah, you need a little separation.
Yeah, absolutely. I need at least 2 hours of sleep, man. Come on, give me two. Give me a solid two, and I'm good to go.
You mentioned earlier about Saratoga, which I ended up buying because I talked to you and Derek, and I said, look, I just want the most bang for my buck. Where can I get the most points for my money and the cheapest dues? And it was without question Saratoga. Is that still pretty much standing to be true? And what are some other resorts that are close?
Yeah, Saratoga really stands the test of time in terms of that metric. When you look at the three components of value, you've got your price per point, your dues, your years left. And I've been measuring that, you know, really closely in the resale industry for 8 years now. Saratoga is always in your top two or three, but usually number one. So I think that's a very tried and true one to buy for that purpose. Some others that also tend to rank well, Polynesian tends to rank well. The years left on it help out, even though it's priced a bit higher. Similar thing with Bay Lake Tower as well. It's not uncommon for it to be very high in that ranking as well. Lower dues, and it's still, you know, it's got a good length of years left going to 2060, even though the price is a little bit higher than Saratoga as well. So if you're willing to bite off a little more on your upfront price with a Bay Lake or Polynesian, you can make up for it in the long term with the years left.
Revisiting something you were talking about just with the cost to stay in a deluxe resort, you know, per night, you know, I was thinking about that too. And look, I didn't really stay in deluxe resorts before I bought DVC, but just 2 years ago, two and a half years ago, when I first bought DVC, at the time, you could stay at a value resort for $85, $100 a night. Sometimes Pop Century, oftentimes $125 to $150. Just 2.5 years later, since I bought DVC, those value rooms are $150, and Pop oftentimes is over $200 a night since they added the Skyliner. So, you know, willing to be in those value resorts at the time when I bought DVC, it might have not necessarily been the greatest investment, even though I enjoy the deluxe resorts, don't get me wrong, but just money-wise and being willing to stay in a value resort at the time might have not been the greatest investment, but just 2.5-3 years down the road with the prices going up on those resorts and me being pretty much locked in, I'm really starting to see a value now.
Well, not to mention the fact that, you know, you bought something, and then if you look at the price you paid and now you look at what it's reselling for, you got to think about that aspect as well. And that's where the difference between renting and owning come into play. And so, you know, if you're like, well, gosh, you know, I could sell it for what I bought it for or pretty close to it, then really what you're looking at is, well, I just spent my dues to vacation, which is, you know, pretty substantial. And then you compare what that, you know, what that cost is, you know, that's really going to pale in comparison to what you would have paid.
When I first bought my first contract, which was for 100 points, I figured out exactly what it cost me per year with the dues that they were that year. So what I paid for the contract and the dues that year, you know, dividing the contract price over the 35 years it was when I bought it, it was $900 a year. You can't stay at Pop Century for $900 for a week. You can't stay at All-Star Movies for $900 for a week. And I get to stay at the Boardwalk or the Beach Club or Saratoga.
And at the Beach Club, that gets you about 1.5 nights.
That's right.
Maybe.
That's right. Cash wise, right. That's so ridiculous. And I will say, when I went to the beach club right after COVID, it was July, right when Disney opened back up, we did a guys trip, me and my friend Ian. We went there and they upgraded us to a 3-bedroom villa. It was just us two guys. man, it was amazing. We didn't even have to see each other if we didn't want to. Like, we had our own space pretty much in the whole place.
I never received a call for that third bed, Jimmy.
You were living in New York at the time.
You know, I travel a lot.
Jimmy, what about me? I'm pretty sure I was living here in Orlando.
Jimmy just made a lot of enemies.
I know.
Don't worry, Jimmy. I would have brought my two lovely children over.
That's why you didn't get invited, by the way.
I gave you that out.
Yes, you did. Jody wants to know if you see Disney converting more buildings in the DVC like they're doing with the Grand Floridian.
It's possible. I would say, obviously at Polynesian, they're going to do the new tower. Wouldn't be shocked if they revisit Bay Lake Tower, or the Contemporary. You've got that other wing over there. I would not be surprised if eventually that either gets converted or it gets torn down and something gets done over there. I think DVC is finding immense success with going to resorts that are very popular, that already have the infrastructure built for them. And immense success at Walt Disney World and Disneyland. You know, their bread and butter is certainly where the theme parks are at. And then you combine that with a place that's already got an infrastructure done and a great location. Yeah, I think wherever they have an opportunity, wherever there's not perhaps like very high occupancy rates, those would be prime targets.
It's interesting that they convert it may be cheaper to convert some of those instead of building new structures. So they buy off of that.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's what they did with the Polynesian. That's what they're doing with the Grand. And the fortunate thing that DVC has going for it is that they do have a lot of people who will book studios. You know, in traditional timeshare, studios are really frowned upon. But not in the DVC world. And I think a big part of that is because a lot of people are going for the parks and the room becomes just an extra part of it. Now, I'm not saying it's insignificant. Who doesn't want a nicer hotel, nicer room, your own vacation after all? But I do feel like there is an element to where I am willing to stay in a smaller space because most of the day I'm going to be gone from the room versus if I'm going to, a beach resort or, something like that, I may spend a little bit more time in the room.
A significant time in the room. I think you're definitely onto something there. I think anywhere else, you're going for the resort. Where in Walt Disney World, you're not necessarily going for the resort. Yeah, I want something nicer. I want the better pool. I want the nicer restaurant. I want the better location. But the room, I really don't really care that. I mean, look, I just talked about me and my friend Ian getting upgraded to a 3-bedroom villa at the beach club. I mean, really, we went in there and crashed. I mean, we didn't hang out, and you know what I mean? So it really, although it was nice.
Jimmy, you're just rubbing more salt on that wound. I mean, me and Dingus could have been there, given you guys really didn't even use
it. Y'all could have stayed there.
Hang out the whole time. Jeez.
We didn't even use the pool. We didn't even go to Stormalong Bay.
Wow, Dingus, we would have had the pool to ourselves, too.
Jimmy's nothing but a taker. He's never given. Brutal.
Oh, goodness.
The next thing he's going to say is, yeah, and they bought us like 10 fruit baskets. And, gosh, we couldn't even get to the first one.
They gave us free park passes, and they loaded us up with fast passes.
That's nice.
For everybody in the room.
And Jimmy was like, there was no waits, but they still gave them to us anyways. It was just like, we didn't even use them. We just threw them away.
Yeah, we did. We just didn't even use them. Nick, what kind of credit score do I have to get a loan through Monera Financial for a DVC purchase?
0.0.
What?
No credit, no problems. We have a no credit check model, and you don't even have to tell us what it is. You can hide the number from us. However, if you do want to get credit for your credit score, you're very proud of it. We have a credit check model, and you could perhaps get an even better rate, but that's your choice. So either way, you can go with us. But that is one of the things that I do love about Monera Financial is it's so easy. And I have to say, when I worked directly for Disney Vacation Club, one of the things that would kill you the most is that you would meet with a family maybe for an hour and a half, 2 hours, they'd be ready to join. You do everything, you run their credit. And unfortunately, they were not accepted. And it was a tough one. It was tough. And
by the way, as somebody who worked in the car business for a long time before I found my career that I've been in for the last 11 years, but I was in the car business for a long time. I feel your pain. There's a lot of words that came out of this mouth and a lot of selling that has been done all for naught because, you know, you get to the end of the road and they don't qualify or for whatever one reason or another, whether it be the credit score or their income or whatever it is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was terrible. So I love having this. I mean, no credit, no problem. You know, we'll figure out a way, you know, to get it done for you. Yeah, when I was when I worked on land as a guide, you know, you would take their, you know, the guest information, you would go back to your computer, you would see the results. At least it would give you 20 seconds to contemplate what you were going to say to them. On the cruise ships, when I worked there, they were in the same room as me and on a giant 60-inch monitor, just came up with the rejection. And there was no reaction time.
Oh, no.
People would just look at you like, well, I guess Mickey said no. And
no.
Where's the magic?
Yeah. So
they would find out the same time as you.
Yes. You know what was the worst part though? I don't know if you found this to be the case, Jimmy, but every now and then you'd also run into somebody who was like, oh, I've got perfect credit. And then it would come up and you're like, oh boy. You know, sometimes if people would say, you know what, I've had a few bumps in the road, then you're like, okay. So then it comes up and it says no. And you're like, those were some pretty hard bumps, huh? Yeah. And they're like, yeah, they sure were. And like, hey, well, you know, so at least you could kind of, you know, have some fun with some people. But for those people that it was a shock to, that was a tough one. So I love it. I mean, I love our model at Monera Financial. It makes it super easy. And you can also pay those loans off at any time. And for a lot of people, you can use it as tax deductions, talk to your tax preparer, but you know, it is considered a second home. So
that's awesome. All right. Where does Rudy sign?
Yeah. If I wasn't living in Orlando already, I'd be signing right now.
You need at least 100 points though.
No excuse. I live here.
You know what, Nick? Maybe I'll buy a contract just so I don't have to invite Jimmy.
You know what? And then you get upgraded to the 3-bedroom grand villa with your fruit basket and fast passes.
I'll get a hold of you, Nick, and we'll leave Jimmy here.
We'll take pictures and post them on his Facebook page.
Oh, brutal. Oh,
my just God. Out of curiosity from the rental side of it again, because that's what I always used to do. Is there still a lot of availability or is it like really, really scarce at this point?
It's tight, like we were talking about earlier. But you know, we do have, you know, also some confirmed reservations that people may have made and can't go or something. So those are pretty much locked in for you. So you could check those out too. You know, being local, one advantage you could have too with us at Rental Store is we could have some last minute availability that you could take advantage of too. So you should really go on there and just browse the reservations and then you can, you know, click through for, you know, you could do time periods, you could do deals. You know, we've made it very sortable and very easy to kind of to go through. But yeah, I mean, like everybody, it's a bit of a challenge, but we're working through it and finding availability where we can. The other thing I will plug about Rental Store that I love that we have also done is that there's also built-in cancellation policies as well now with them too. So, you know, I think that, was something that was really needed coming out of COVID. So we've done that as well. It's not an option anymore. It's just built in. So the prices, you know, Jimmy was saying, you know, they've gone up a little bit. We're talking about that. I mean, that's a little bit of it, but honestly to me, okay, if I save 30%, but have a built-in cancellation policy, do I feel better than saving 33% and not having a built-in cancellation policy? Still saving a lot of money. And now you got that reassurance. And I think one thing that COVID taught us is you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, it's good to provide that for everybody.
I mean, I think that was one of my biggest, like, when people would ask me before about rentals, before you guys came around. And now you guys, I think, are the only people that do that. But that was my biggest thing is like, yeah, you got to put up all the money up front. And if you can't go, you're just out. You just lost your money. So that's great that you guys do that. I'm guessing at this point in time, if you have a confirmed reservation that, and you decide you can't go and you want to rent it, you're way better off contacting you guys with the confirmed reservation rather than canceling and coming to you guys with the points.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, contact us first before you do anything. I mean, in very rare circumstances, we might tell you to cancel that, but I doubt it. Not with availability the way it is right now. So I would just say, look, call the experts. I mean, we've got some phenomenal people to really guide you through that process too when you call us. And I mean, they do this every day. So I would call them first and get their expert advice on what you should do with that reservation before you do anything.
One more question before we let you go, Nick. If you bought resale, would you be able to book at the new Grand Floridian Studios?
Yes. And that's a great question because with Riviera, it was different. You know, with Riviera, if you bought Riviera, you know, resale, you can only stay there at Riviera. However, with Grand Floridian, it is with the same HOA association as the previous one. So it's all part of the same Grand Floridian, if you will. And so, yes, those restrictions, you know, don't apply. If you buy resale, you can certainly still use your points to go there.
Perfect. Dingus, any final questions?
I'm good. Very helpful, Nick. I got to say, you know, after using that service a number of times, it was easy as can be. And I had a lot of people shy away from it because it's not directly through Disney, but it could have been easier and more beneficial to me. It was pretty amazing. So if it's something you guys are looking for to get into a cheaper deluxe, it's definitely the way to go.
And if you think you're going to travel to Disney at least every 3 years, just go ahead and pull the trigger and buy the contract. Because with the borrowing and banking, I know most of us that are going to be watching this show probably travel to Disney more than every 3 years. Probably most of us are either at least once a year or some multiple times a year. I don't have enough points to pay for every trip we go on. But, you know, like I'm also a travel agent, so we get travel agent discounts and stuff like that. So sometimes I do, you know, get percentage off a room where it still makes sense to pay cash for it. But
if that's Jimmy's way of hitting the ground and he wants to stay at my house, it's not happening.
I hit Panda up not too long ago to stay at his house, and he told me, well, we really don't have a spare room. I was like, dude, I was just kidding. Nick's got lots of
See what happens when you don't let people in your three bedroom beach club.
I know. If I'd invited Nick, I'd have had a standing invitation to his house. I wouldn't get any sleep, but I'd have a standing invitation to his house.
Solid 2 hours, Jimmy. Solid 2 hours.
Yes. Thank you so much, Nick, for joining us. We appreciated it all as always, man. And I'll be there June. We have a meetup June 25th, Saturday night, in the American Adventure. We got a little mini scavenger hunt going on that Ed's putting together. Me and Ed just happened to be there at the same time, so we decided to do a little meetup. And then we have our annual meetups coming in November, November 10th, 11th, and 12th. So if you think you want to come to any of those, believe me, you're missing out. Nick has been to multiple events of ours. It's always great to see him there. Go to the Disney Nerds Podcast Facebook page and go to the events section. For myself, the Dingus, and our friend Nick Cotton, have a good night.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for having me, guys.
Bye, guys.
You would like to join our jamboree? There's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace.